Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Welcome back. We've got a slight little holiday thing coming up this weekend. It's called Labor Day, and I would bet that there's a lot of folks out there that don't know the history of Labor Day. Why did it ever come about? What's the significance of that? And so we're going to talk about that a bit with my friend Charlie Wishman. He is with the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, and just dive into that. We're going to talk about labor unions, all kinds of things here for the next few minutes. Charlie, welcome back to the News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is an important conversation to have because, you know, while folks are sitting on their boats or on the beach or the picnic grounds or, you know, in their backyards enjoying Monday as a holiday, they're going, oh, this is cool. I've got a day off. But that day off was bought with blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, actually, so Labor Day came about. There's been a lot of Labor Days, actually, throughout our history. In the 1800s, there was many different unions or labor organizations celebrated a day to honor the American worker. And they all did it at different times. Mm-hmm. And internationally, kind of May 1st is kind of the day that is considered Labor Day. But that didn't even come about until a little bit later. But in America, really how we got to having a Labor Day is that in 1893, there was a huge crash in the stock market.
Right. Yeah.
And it took an enormous – it started a depression, nothing like the Great Depression that would come later. But it started a depression. And then the railway unions, what happened is they
– Which were very powerful at the time.
Yes, absolutely. And what happened is the – basically the Pullman Company and they in response to the Great Depression that was going on at the time, they were lowering the wages of their workers. And the workers said, well, if you're going to lower our wages, then can you at least – and at the time there was these thing called company towns where you were forced to live in the town,
Sure. Use
the company money, company script and so on. They said, well, if you're going to cut our wages, you better at least lower the rent and lower the cost of some of the other things as well, or we're not going to be able to get by. And the company refused to do that and set off a huge national strike. And at the time, President Cleveland called out not just the National Guard, called out federal troops to put it down across the country. And there were dozens and dozens of labor activists that were killed during that. And it was actually, despite a lot of the reporting in the press, public opinion really wasn't on President Cleveland's side. And 6 days after the strike ended, he signed into law Labor Day as a way to try and make amends of whatever you could of the situation, but to try and shore up some kind of support from labor to have the United States as a whole recognize a day, at least one day each year, to celebrate the American worker and their contributions to the economy as a whole.
And that historical relevance really is lost on a lot of people.
Right. It's not just a day to where you might find a sale on a cheap TV or you may
that's President's go ahead. Day.
Right. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where for a lot of folks, you know, it's another day off. Or unfortunately for a lot of folks, it's not a day off and they're working on Labor Day. But for the labor movement, for unions and union members, there's a little bit extra significance in the meaning of Labor
Day.
We take it pretty seriously, and we have celebrations all across the state and all across the country.
Yeah, and here in the Des Moines Metro, there's a parade on Labor Day. It starts at the State House and winds its way over to State Fairgrounds, I believe it is, isn't it?
Yep, starts at 11 a.m. Yeah. The parade lineup starts at 8 a.m., and I've seen folks there for years jockeying to get – it's you know, first one in line, right. You know, and – and then after the after the parade that it runs from the Capitol pretty much down Grand to the mm-hmm. to the state fairgrounds. And then there's a picnic at Union Labor Park, which is at 4640 yeah. Morningside Drive Morningside. Up on the north end of town by the softball diamonds.
Yep. And it really is. It's a neat experience, and so hope to see a lot of folks out there at the Labor Day parade on Monday. Let's spend some time talking about labor and labor issues and labor unions, if we can. I mean, you're no stranger to any of these things. While you did your history very well, history recently has not been very kind to the labor movement here in Iowa. I think there's a couple of lawsuits going on right now. AFSCME has got a lawsuit against the state of Iowa. So, too, does Iowa Teachers Association relative to this recertification process. What's going on with that?
Right. So there's a couple of lawsuits that are going on and that are challenging different parts of this law. Some that are challenging the dues deduction portion of it that said that, well, you know, you can have United Way or you can have whatever, and you should be able to have those things deducted out of your check. But this one specific item, the, you know, belonging to a labor union, you can no longer have that just deducted from your check. There's been around these rules around recertification elections. Now, before this law was passed, there was a process where people didn't want to have a union anymore. They could
vote
call for a
decertification.
Yeah, exactly. There was a decertification election. What this new law for public employee bargaining units means is that every time they're about to come up on a contract, they mandatorily are forced to have a recertification or decertification vote, however you want to look at it. And one of the things that, you know, we find there's a whole host of troubling things in the way that process goes. And I don't want to go too far into the weeds into that. But the one that really strikes us as the most unfair is if somebody doesn't want to vote or doesn't bother to vote
or doesn't know to vote
or doesn't vote. Right. Exactly. Is that the state will automatically cast a ballot for them as a no vote. If that were the case in an election for any of the people that passed this law, well, you know what, any Democrat, Republican, Independent at the state house, if people who didn't vote were automatically counted as no votes, we wouldn't have any elected representatives.
That's exactly right.
So we found it somewhat hypocritical that they would pass a law that contained provisions like that that we feel are quite rigged and undemocratic, small d democratic. And
interesting
when
stuff.
They all get elected.
Yeah, they,
in a very
when they get
way.
Elected with a minority of votes.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. Charlie Wishman, ladies and gentlemen, with the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. Charlie, one of the things that, and people know, I mean, if you've listened to this broadcast long enough, you know that my roots are deep in respect for labor unions, simply because I recognize the fact when everybody is making a good wage, everybody wins. I mean, I'm a champion of small business. I really am. And that's what we do every day here. We don't necessarily talk about politics. We talk about the economics of our lives. And, you know, if everybody's making a decent living, like they did in the union shops in Detroit in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, when things were really booming up there, everybody had a job, everybody had houses, a couple of cars, things were good. Things were very good. But that whole thing has changed around a little bit. The idea that labor unions are bad. And I have lots of individuals, Charlie, tell me that my thoughts are misguided because labor unions are fat and sassy and they don't care anything about their workers. And I've had people publicly say, well, you know, I had a grievance and the labor union did nothing to solve my problem. And they're not very specific with what these are, but I hear this often.
Sure.
So the public perception is also negative.
Well, let me answer that.
You bet.
Two ways. First of all, sassy. We're never going to stop being sassy. So that's, I mean, that's just, if you're a rebel, you're probably naturally drawn to being in a labor union. Yeah. So that's not going to change. But as far as, you know, there's always going to be somebody who, you know, there's a process. And every union has a different process as to whether or not they move forward with grievances and or arbitrations or what have you, and whether or not they believe that that has that has merit or whatever. And, you know, I can't speak to every single instance that someone may feel wronged or slighted by the union. But, you know, I would like to share with you, yesterday on the 30th, Gallup came out with a new poll. And I was pretty heartened by what I read. It said that 61% of Americans say they approve of labor unions. That's actually a pretty good number.
It is a pretty good number.
The all-time low was about 2009.
During the recession.
Since Gallup was doing this. And that had about 48%. And if you think about what's happened since basically in the last 7 years, it's been not just in Iowa, but across especially the Midwest and the industrial Midwest, there's been an all-out assault on worker organizations. Right now, back then, let's just start. Back then, 78% of Democrats and 26 Republicans approved of labor unions.
Back when? When was
in 2011, okay. Right? So this is when Governor Walker started in Wisconsin. And so you really did have this very large partisan divide. And that number now has gone to 81% of Democrats approve. And that's not really surprising. But that 26% of Republicans that approve of labor unions has grown to 42% of Republicans.
Really? Okay. This is interesting.
Of labor unions.
Why, you think?
Well, I think that there's a couple of reasons for that. And I think, like I said, they have seen the effects of what some of these laws have had on their states. They've seen... I think Americans have a fundamental sense of fairness, and when they read about or hear about some of these laws that are being passed, it doesn't sit well with them, whether they belong to a union or not. And another thing is, 39% of Americans want labor unions to have a greater influence on society, which is an all-time high for Gallup in the 18 years they've been asking that question. And so we get these polls that come out on Labor Day, and I respect Gallup as a good polling outfit. I think that, like I said, when you see what's happened in every single sector, whether it's, outsourcing of jobs in manufacturing or whether it's been – what's been happening in the public sector as far as attacking unions and workers and their organizations. I think that people are starting to wait and say, wait a second. These organizations are good for the middle class, and we're seeing the middle class erode and go away in this country.
And so that is having a direct response among people apparently of all political stripes. They look out their window and they hear, we report on it every day, Charlie, about how stock market continues to go up and billions of dollars are going to already successful companies, across the nation. Here in Iowa, we give millions of dollars in tax breaks or tax incentives to already successful companies that have billions of dollars in the bank. And I think the average person is sitting out there going, wait a minute. What happened here?
Right. I mean, I think that we very and this has been my mantra for a while. And I got to confess that I stole this from a great labor historian, John McCurley, who is at the University of Iowa Labor Center. But he pointed out to me, he said, in 1929, workers had no historical experience to know that things were going to get better.
That's right.
In 1929, things were about as bad as you could possibly get for the American worker. And if they only knew that within a few years would begin the rise of to the high point of the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, to the high point of the labor movement, they wouldn't have believed it because it wasn't within their scope of historical experience or imagination.
And things were so bad, and they had never been good.
Right.
Yeah.
Things weren't great during the 20s, but, when you're looking at, 35% unemployment and things like that, it's hard to imagine things could get better. So there's a lot of folks right now who are are seeing Apple get a heck of a deal out there when you've got more folks working in the Apple store at Jordan Creek that'll probably be working at this
data farm.
Right. Yet we're giving out that much money to them, and they're saying there's something fundamentally wrong with how our state or how our government, how our government in general is doing business. And meanwhile, the middle class is not sharing in this wealth.
And meanwhile, today's news story is that we're not going to be inspecting nursing homes any longer.
I said that to my wife last night, who has a CNA license. She's like,
what?
She just could not believe it. I said, we are at the point in this state now where we are no longer going to inspect nursing homes. If we can't care for the people at the beginning of life and at the end of life, I don't know what kind of society we are.
Charlie Wishman, ladies and gentlemen, we've been spending some time talking about a wide variety of things, really. The history of Labor Day, which I think is fascinating, and you should perhaps commit that to memory as you down your hot dog this weekend, as well as the celebrations that are going on, not only here in the Des Moines Metro, but all across the state in honor of Labor Day, and a conversation about labor unions in general, the seemingly endless attack that workers are experiencing, not only in Iowa, but we've seen in Michigan, and we've seen in Wisconsin, and a host of other states that seem to have an issue with people making a livable wage. I just quite don't understand that, but, well.
You know, the thing is, though, is that we I think we're pretty well accustomed to the fact that we are always going to be attacked. It has always been.
You're on the whipping boy, aren't you?
There is always that back and forth that is always going to happen. Yeah. It seems as though things have moved to a really extreme, level.
When not voting counts for a no vote, you'd know that something ain't right.
Right. I mean, for the talk of that, when we want to put taxpayers in the driver's seat and things like that, you know, it is very, very transparent that the people who wanted this law passed, their main goal was to weaken labor unions. And unfortunately, so far, the law is having its intended effect.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's something that you don't agree with, then you need to do something about that.
And that's called a ballot box. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Happy Labor Day to you, my friend.
Happy Labor Day to you, Michael, and all of your listeners.
All right. We will see you on the parade route, no doubt. We've got to step aside. Speaking of money and economics and finances, it's about time to check out what happened today on Wall Street. What did happen today? We'll tell all when we come back on the Business News Hour.